So, the second edition of the Bachich has Chasagim, and Yehuda Mitzach Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. And she said, Vacham Moimim. If you act more, if you do put a strainer over a Keli, according to the Rabbanon, is he Chayiv Deraisa or the Rabbanon? Rabbi Yosef is Chayiv Deraisa. Abaye says, that can't be. It must be only Chayiv Deraisa. Abaye grouped together different halachas from different brises that all have a similar grouping. And he said as follows. He said, a leather bag that's used to carry liquid that's spread out over pegs to keep the liquids cool. That's number one. Number two is a strainer, which is put over a keli. Number three is a sloping canopy. And number four, a modular chair. All these things are also to make on Shabbos or Yontif, but if you do them, you're potter. Next, making a permanent oil is also, and if someone does, he's chayav echatas. And finally, the third thing is putting a bed onto its legs, or opening a folding chair, or opening a folding commode, are all mutter to do on Shabbos and Yontif. Misha said, ve'ein noisn latzluya b'Shabbos. If someone puts the wine into the strainer, what is he chayav? So if Kahana says he's chayav echatas. Sheish says, how can it be possible that he'd be chayav echatos when Rabbi Eliezer says it's totally mutter? Could it be that he says it's totally mutter, but the Rabbanon says mamash also even the rice? Rabbi says, why not? We find that Rabbi says, like, a woman's not allowed to wear a golden tiara outside on Shabbat, and she does chayav echatos, and Rabbi Eliezer says it's totally mutter. Abaye said to Rabbi Eliezer, that case is different because you have the Rabbanon who are in between. The Rabbanon says it's also Raval Potter. It's Potter Raval also, I'm sorry. So Rabbi Eliezer comes along and goes one step further, but he's not arguing me katza la katza, meaning there's a middle shita. That's the difference. Where he asks, what hasra do you give someone who's that we see about to strain his wine on Shabbos? The rabbi says we warn him as bayrer, because just like bayrer, he's separating the edible from the inedible. Rabbi Zeri says we give him a hasra for merakeid, because it was just sifting, because just like merakeid, the item that he doesn't want is left on top. Rabbi Yecheskel says you're not allowed to put a talus over four poles with the talus hanging over the sides, but if he does so, he's potter because it's only a temporary oil. But if it was already on the poles, but it was drawn back, and there's a string that allows you to be to close it and spread it out over the poles, it's mutter to spread it out because then he's only adding to a temporary oil. Kahani asked Rav, are you allowed to make a sloping canopy on Shabbos? He said, what do you mean? Even to put a bed on its legs, and thereby you're making an oil over the floor underneath is even usher. He asked, are you allowed to put a bed on the legs on Shabbos? He said, what do you mean? Even putting a sloping canopy is mutter. He said, what? He said, are you allowed to put a sloping make a sloping canopy, and are you allowed to put a bed on its legs? He said, making a sloping canopy is usher, putting a bed on his legs is mutter. What's Pshat? He seems to be sized to each other. All his halachas over here. The Gemara explains, when Rav said the bed is also, he was referring to putting together a modular bed. When he said making a canopy was mutter, he was referring to where it was ready on the poles, so that opening it was only adding to it. When he said that making a canopy is also, but putting the bed together is mutter, he was referring to the regular canopies and beds. Rabbi Yosef said he saw a canopy spread out in Rav Huna's house on Friday night and thrown on the ground on Shabbos. We see from here that you're allowed to disassemble a canopy on Shabbos, and similarly, you'd be allowed to assemble a canopy on Shabbos. Rav named Rav Chiya said a curtain in a doorway, you know, as a separation. You're allowed to put it up and take it down on Shabbos because an oil has to be a roof-like structure. This is not a roof-like structure, and therefore it's not even an oil. Shmuel, the name of Chia, said a sloping canopy is mutter to make and take down on Shabbos. Sheshes Bar Davidi said this is only if there's not a tefach of horizontal roof before it begins sloping on the other side. And even then, it's only mutter if the canopy doesn't get a tefach wide within three tefachim to the point of the roof, because then I'll love it. We look at it as if it's a tefach wide. And even then, it's only mutter if the width of the area underneath each side of the sloping, each side of the sloping roof is less than a tefach. But if it's on the bottom, but if it's more than a tefach, it's also a problem. And even then, it's only mutter if the canopy doesn't extend a tefach beyond the size of the beds. Because if it does, then it makes it, that's like the walls of the bed, and the bed becomes an oil for what's underneath it, and therefore it would be a problem. Sheshes, the Brei Ravidi said, wearing a wide-brimmed hat on Shabbos is mutter. A Brei says it's also. The Gemara says the Brei is referring to where the brim is a tefach, and therefore it creates an oil when you put it on. Sheshes says it's talking about where the brim is not a tefach, and that's why it's not a problem. In fact, Gemara, if so, when you pull your talis in front of your head so that it sticks out a tefach, should be chayav as well. We know that's not the case. The Gemara says you're right. The difference has nothing to do with the halachos of oil. Rather, if Sheshes is discussing a hat that fits tightly, and therefore you're not afraid it's going to fall off and you're going to come to carry it. The Brei is discussing a loosely fitting hat, which is also because the wind can come and blow it off, and you may carry it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yecheskel asked Rav Huna to repeat three teachings that he once heard from Rav, two regarding Shabbos, one regarding the Torah itself. Rav Huna said like this. Rav said that the brisa that allows the spreading of a bag that has straps on it, which is different because earlier when we talked about a bag that did not have straps, here it's like a strap. Doesn't get as tight when it's spread out over poles. It's only usher. It's only mutter if it's spread by two people because it doesn't get spread as tightly. But if it's spread by one person, it's going to be usher. Abaye said, by the way, that with regard to this, to a canopy, even if it's spread out by a regular canopy, if it's spread out even by 10 people, it's going to be usher because it's impossible. At least a portion of it won't be spread properly. Next, he said, Abraisa said that an oven that lost a leg is still a keli and therefore it's not muksa. But if it lost two legs, then it does not have the status of a keli anymore. Rav said if it loses one leg, it's still usher to move, as a gzeira prevents someone from fixing the leg on Shabbos. Finally, Rav said we learn from a puzzle pasuk that eventually Torah will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael as a form of punishment. Rashi says when the Rabbanu went to Kiryat Yam, they said we learn from a pasuk that eventually Torah will be forgotten from Klal Yisrael to the point that a woman will take a loaf of bread of truma bread that was in a tamei oven, go to the Beis Medrash to ask if it's also tamei, and no one will know how to answer. In fact, the pasuk clearly says the food becomes tamei, so how could be no one will be able to answer? So the Rabbanu says no one will know if it's a rishon or a sheni. In fact, that's also a very clearly in a mishnah if a sheres goes into the airspace of an oven, the oven becomes its rishon and the bread will become a sheni. So how could you say that no one will know it? They'll be confused because the Radabar Ahava said to Rava regarding that Mishnah that maybe we should view it if the entire airspace is filled with the Tumah and therefore make the bread even a Rishon. And Rava answered that the Pasuk teaches we don't view it like that, but still, based on this conversation, people will get confused on this halacha, get confused, and therefore they won't know what the halacha is. Rishim Ba'ichai says, Chas for Shalom to say that the Torah will be forgotten among Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Ki lo yisi shochach mipi zaroi. Rather, when the Pasuk says that we'll be looking for answers and we won't be able to find them, it means that we won't have clear outcomes on how to paskin, because there'll be so much machloikas regarding how to paskin, we won't have a clear outcome on how to paskin. That's what the pasuk means.